The Bible reading for today is the story of the Transfiguration, a very familiar story, I am sure. Sorry, bear with me. I'm trying to use my iPad, which is very new. It's a bit of paper is, I think, a much bigger improvement. So the Transfiguration, this really familiar Bible story, we hear it every year. It's always in the lectionary, all 3 years. The moment when the glory of God shines through Jesus and the disciples come to start to understand Jesus as the Messiah. It takes place just after Peter has recognized Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of the living God, because Jesus has started to speak a little bit more now about the suffering which he is soon to face in Jerusalem. Peter, James, and John take a long and arduous journey up a high mountain, a journey that must have required a lot of strength and patience and preparation. And then they wait. The reading doesn't say for how long they wait, but it doesn't sound to me like a short journey if it's this high mountain. And I can't imagine how it must have felt to be there. I wonder if there were any storms in the mountain or if they felt cold. I wonder what they spoke about as they climbed up. I wonder if they felt worried about whether anything was going to happen at all or how long they would be waiting for. And then something really incredible happens. Moses and Elijah appear on the mountain with Jesus. It's a tremendously, incredibly symbolic moment. Moses represents the Torah, the law, and Elijah represents the prophets. And the glory of God shines through Jesus, and his face shone radiant and bright. A truly exceptional wow moment. And in this moment, Jesus is showing himself to be even more important than Moses and Elijah, the most impressive past leaders. Because when we read back, the glory of God only ever shines on Moses, but the glory of God at the Transfiguration shines through Jesus. And God makes it clear that Jesus is his son. So the Transfiguration, it's about the revelation of who Jesus is. The new Moses, the one to lead us back to God. But instead of receiving the law on the mountain, like Moses did, Jesus has something new to say. When the disciples fall in fear, Jesus reaches out and touches them and says, "Do not be afraid." It's a moment where all the jigsaw pieces start to fall together. Who is this man, this person, Jesus, gathering crowds and healing people from their burdens? Could it be, is he the Messiah? Jesus asks James, Peter, and John not to tell anyone about what they had seen until the moments after his death and resurrection. It's something just for them to know. To sustain them, it's a moment, the spiritual moment that sustains and strengthens their faith, knowing that there are going to be trials ahead. And perhaps holding them in those anxious moments while they wait for the resurrection of Jesus. Have you ever found yourself reading a book or watching a film and you become so involved and you care so much about the character of the book or in the story that when something really difficult happens to that character, it's really hard to read on or to watch the rest of the film? And so I have, and I'm sure other people may have as well, just felt very tempted to just skip towards the back. Because once you know that it turns out okay, then it kind of gives you a bit of strength to read the rest of the book. We've all been there. We've all done that. That's why I've never watched the whole of Titanic. The Transfiguration is a moment that resonates with that a little bit. Jesus is reassuring Peter, James, and John that he is the Son of God, the Holy One, the Messiah, and that through every trial that comes their way, they will find comfort in knowing that God will not leave them or fail them. Jesus is saying, do not be afraid. This weekend, I have been helping to lead a retreat with a small group of young people, undergraduates, connected to St. Columbus. And we started on Friday and we left just after breakfast this morning in Freeland, St. Clair's Convent near Whitney, you may have visited. And the retreat was focused on the Transfiguration. So this morning, the rest of the group have gone to St. Columbus to share a little bit there about their experiences of the retreat, and I have come here. And there are three words that drew me most during the retreat and the activities that we did there. And the words were wait, listen, and encounter. Wait, listen, and encounter. In the gospel reading, Jesus takes Peter and James and John up this high mountain, away from the busyness and away from the crowds and the questions, and up into this moment of solitude to listen to God and to wait for God and to encounter God. And it took time. Yesterday at the retreat, we practiced going on a prayer walk. We said a short prayer together, and then we walked through the gardens of the convent, and we went on a countryside walk in the village. And we were really listening out to see what we could hear and what we could see. You know, could we see any animals? What could we hear? Could we hear the wind going through the trees? Could we hear our feet under the ground? We wanted to try really intentionally to be present to the idea that God was all around us. And it was this really beautiful moment, and it really helped. I definitely got a lot out of it, and I think other people did as well. But my favourite moment was that we saw this really shriveled brown bush, kind of about this high, and it just looked dead. It just looked like a February dead bush. So, not a gardener. So we walked by, and but we were trying to be really intentional and to look at everything. So we peered into this bush, and what just looked like shriveled up bits of plants. When we looked closer, all these tiny shriveled up bits were actually these perfect star-shaped seed pods. They looked a bit like star anise, a bit. I mean, that wasn't what it was, but that's what it looked like. And they were so beautiful up close. And we all stopped and we all looked at them and we took one of them back, and one person did some drawing. And we really noticed when we listened and we waited. We wanted to know what God had to say to us, and what we heard back was, I am here. It's impossible to go on a retreat focused on the Transfiguration without asking each other whether we had ever experienced a mountaintop spiritual experience. And some of us felt that we had felt kind of a feeling of overwhelming awe when we were in natural spaces. We had had that sense of how small we are compared to how vast and beautiful the world is. But none of us felt that we had had a spiritual mountaintop experience like we had heard from others. I have a friend called Shona, and she went on this huge journey last year from July to November. She walked the Pacific Crest Trail in America. It's a 2,650-mile journey, and she started at the Canadian border, and she walked through the states of Washington, Oregon, California, until she reached the Mexican border. And she carried all of her kits and all of her camping gear, and she passed through a town about once a week to pick up new supplies of food and to have a shower and charge her phone. It took her 5 months. She walked 30 miles a day. and she returned home last November. She wrote a blog about her experiences of this walk, and I was so engrossed in her blog. I felt like I was kind of being adventurous vicariously just by watching her Instagram page. But she wrote about the solitude and the fears, because she was often by herself in incredibly remote places for days on end. She wrote about how she responded to the fear that she felt, and also about the dramatic beauty and how she felt that that slowness and the beauty had changed her. One of her blogs that struck me the most was about a 12-hour car journey that she made right at the end when she had finished her trek. She wanted to see one of her friends who was 600 miles away, and it was a 12-hour car journey. And as she was in the car, she was thinking, this would take me 20 days to walk. And she was thinking, I mustn't forget when I go back home not to let my life speed up like this again, because I will lose what I have learned from these 5 months of living slowly. We can't all go live in the mountains for 5 months. Very few people are able to spend that amount of time in wilderness and in retreat. But there is still something important in the gospel reading today about retreat. Jesus retreated, and he encouraged his followers to retreat. He retreated to pray and to listen and to wait and to hear God's voice and to be sustained. Or as Peter says to Jesus when they are together on the mountain, Lord, it is good for us to be here. In the retreat this weekend, we remember two important things about listening. That it's very difficult to listen to God when life is too busy and too loud. And also that God speaks to us through each other, that our faith is togetherness. One of my highlights of the weekend was to gather the group together for Lectio Divina, focusing again on the Transfiguration passage in Matthew that we heard this morning. I don't know if you've ever taken part in Lectio Divina, but I really recommend it. It's something that can be done individually or together in a small group. It's a form of reading the Bible that is a prayer. It's contemplative. You read a passage 3 or 4 times, and then you stop and listen during the passage and during the silence between the readings just to hear what God might be saying. It's a contemplative way of reading the Bible and praying that originates from St. Benedict in the 6th century. It sees scripture as a place where we meet God and where we are spiritually formed. There is no sense in Lectio Divina of kind of ascertaining doctrine or it's not Bible study. It's not Bible study. It's a place where you kind of, your spirit goes into the passage and you imagine being there and you just wait to listen to what God might have to say to you. And it was interesting this weekend to hear the ways in which God spoke to each of us differently. We all had different aspects of the gospel passage today that felt especially meaningful to us, that we heard more loudly than other parts of the story. The phrase that came to me most clearly was, it is good to be here. You know, as I sat with a passage and as I listened, I sat uncomfortably with the realization that I fall into the trap of becoming too busy with too many projects, and I neglect the side of my spiritual life that calls me to silence and to stillness. And I'm sure I'm not alone. Others were drawn to different parts of the scripture. One person was really particularly drawn to the actions of Jesus touching Peter, James, and John, touching them in their fear and comforting them. A very human reaction in the midst of this incredible spiritual experience of seeing Moses and Elijah and catching a glimpse of God shining through the face of Jesus. Jesus' words, do not be afraid, spoke to us all, especially when we considered the context of the Transfiguration, that the disciples were starting to realize that there were dark moments ahead, but that the love of God would hold them and that this experience would sustain them and their faith when the worst was to come. Martin Luther King said, "I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go to the mountain and I've looked over and I've seen the promised land." Martin Luther King caught a glimpse of the possibilities of freedom and of justice, but he was aware of the struggles and the dangers too. The awe of retreat, the oh wow moments, they can transform us to action. And it can lead to struggle and to hardship and periods of restless waiting and times where it is very difficult to hear God speaking, no matter how hard we listen. But we can be reassured that God is with us, reaching out to touch us and reminding us to not be afraid. There was a poem from Malcolm Gait which we shared this weekend on the Transfiguration, and it was so lovely that I wanted to share it with you. So I will finish by reading you a poem. "For that one moment, in and out of time, on that one mountain where all moments meet, the daily veil that covers the sublime in darkened glass fell dazzled at his feet. There were no angels full of eyes and wings, just living glory full of truth and grace. The love that dances at the heart of things shone out upon us from a human face. And to that light, the light in us leapt up. We felt it quicken somewhere deep within. A sudden blaze of long extinguished hope trembled and tingled through the tender skin. Nor can this blackened sky, this darkened scar, eclipse that glimpse of how things really are." Amen.